since today is the day when our pond ring groups gather, and I see a number of our pond ring group leaders here today, I want to start with a little bit of reflection on this whole business of pondering, because it's not always an easy thing to do, and today's readings are not easy to ponder. And it often happens that we don't get exactly what the Lord is saying, or it seems like he contradicts himself, and so it takes a little effort. That's why the leaders have to be well prepared. We learned on Sunday that the Word of God is a sword, a living sword, a two-edged sword, and it has this ability to pierce the inner life, the inner reflections and thoughts of the heart, which, as I've said all week, is sometimes a very consoling and beautiful experience and sometimes a very challenging and disturbing experience. I know that the pondering groups will be looking forward now to this upcoming Sunday, but looking back at last Sunday, remember the story was the rich man who asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life, and Jesus said, well, you follow the commandments, and the man said, yeah, I've got that part, and then Jesus said, well, now you have to let go of your attachment to all these things, yourself, your possessions, and abandon yourself to God. Come follow me. And that was too much for the young man. He went the way sad. Remember, that was Sunday's gospel. So depending on how you ponder a gospel like that, some people ponder it and say, well, Jesus was very harsh to that man. He told him he had to give up all his stuff. And other people pondering it will say, look at how loving Jesus was to the man, that he was setting him free from his attachment to all his stuff. See, it's the same gospel, but different people experience that sword differently. Now, this upcoming Sunday, which I imagine you're preparing for this upcoming Sunday, the gospel will be not a rich man, but the apostles themselves, James and John, who have expressed their ambition to sit at the right and at the left, or sit in glory. It's a similar ambition that the rich man had last Sunday. Well, this Sunday, it's going to be with these two apostles. And Jesus says, we don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup? And they say, oh, yeah, we can drink it. So, and it looks like, oh, very nice. And then Jesus has to correct them and tell them that the way to rise up is to serve, to be at the service of others. And depending on how you read a passage like that, it might seem like a very harsh rejection of the apostles' goodwill, or it might seem like a very beautiful instruction on how to be glorified. So I'm saying that the Word of God has different dimensions, and we have to let them all speak to us. It's not just a matter of reading the words and saying that's what it says. No, we have to engage in the conversation with the Lord. And sometimes he says things we don't expect. Okay, so that's just a little background. Now, when looking at today's readings, it might strike you that the gospel is quite harsh and the first reading is quite beautiful. The contrast is very great between the first reading and the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus is again speaking to the scribes and Pharisees and giving them very severe warnings. He says that they are going to be held accountable for all the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world. It's a very strange thing to say. You're going to be responsible for all the mess that your ancestors have made of God's attempts to save his people. You're going to be held responsible. All the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, all the way back to Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. Gosh. And it's disturbing because we know that there has been a lot of injustice, a lot of bloodshed. In every generation, we see it before our eyes in the news every day. But if you go back to previous generations and keep counting going back, it's oceans of bloodshed. And that's really disturbing, that things have gotten so out of hand. It's so far from the will of God. It's very disturbing to think that we have a responsibility for that. But in contrast, St. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, this is sometimes called the Queen of the Apostles, a very beautiful, lofty letter. He says that God chose us in Christ, the Father chose us in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, what stood out for me is that that expression is in both readings, the foundation of the world. You don't always get this, that this exact same expression is used in both the first reading and the gospel. But this is what it is. The foundation of the world, meaning the beginning, the creation. In the gospel, Jesus says all the problems that have happened since the foundation of the world, so since creation. But Paul goes back even further and says, no, the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before all these problems started, God already had a very beautiful, lofty, glorious vision for us. And this is quite a thing to reflect on. It's a terrible mess. Sin is a terrible problem. It's an impossible burden. It's frightening even to think about the weight of sin. Even to think of our own sins is tough enough, but to think of the sins of the world. But God already had a solution to that before those sins were even committed. And that's what St. Paul is reflecting on here in this beautiful passage. It takes a little work to read this first reading because Paul is talking about very lofty things. But let me just pick out a few of his ideas and let's apply them to the terrible problem that we as a human family face, the terrible burden that we are carrying, the blood of the innocent in every generation. So this is what Paul says. Okay, first of all, grace to you, peace to you, and all the gifts that God has given us in Christ, I'm offering to you at the beginning of this letter. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. Praise be to God. Yeah, we have problems. Yes, the world is full of problems. But praise be to God who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Every spiritual blessing in the heavens? Every single blessing has already been given to us? Yes. That's an extraordinary thing to say. You mean, we who are sinners, we who live in a sinful world, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens? Yes, in Christ. So the answer to these problems is always Jesus Christ. So he's blessed us already. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. I already told you that. So that's already God's plan. Before he even created anything, he already had in mind that we would be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's an unchanging desire of God, that we experience every blessing in Christ. He chose us for this, to be holy and without blemish before him. To be holy and without blemish, meaning without any of these sins. That's God's vision for us, that we be completely free of sin. In love, this is God's love now, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ. He destined us for adoption. Adoption is how someone who's not part of the family becomes part of the family. Adoption, a beautiful action of love on the part of the parents who adopt. And the one adopted is the recipient of a completely unearned favor. An adopted child didn't do anything. He doesn't have any qualifications for becoming a part of the family. Well, this is how God looks at us. He sees that we are not of our nature qualified to be part of his family, but he adopts us. He pours out every spiritual blessing upon us in Christ. He makes it possible for us to be restored from the mess that we're going to make and the mess we've already made. He makes it possible. He gives a solution to the problem so that we can not only be restored to a natural goodness like Adam and Eve in the garden, but even more, we can be brought into a supernatural goodness, sharing in the life of God. And that's what Paul is saying, you know, he says more about how it happens by the blood of Christ. But what he's trying to do here, what St. Paul is trying to do here, is give us a glimpse of how beautiful the plan of God is. So that we have that in mind when we go through the struggles of our day and we face our own sinfulness, our own weakness, our own and the injustices and the problems. When we face all these things, we don't do it without any hope or without any solution. No, we have this. We have this. Remember, this is God's plan for us. He has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him, in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of times to sum up all things in Christ in heaven and on earth. So if we have Jesus Christ, we have everything. If we have Jesus Christ, we have everything, more than we need. If we don't have him, we're in big, big trouble, because then we're back to the condition that Jesus is putting on the scribes and the Pharisees. You're responsible for this whole burden of sin, and you're rejecting the solution. And at the end of today's gospel, they are plotting with hostility to destroy Christ. They're exempting themselves or exiling themselves from the very solution to every problem. So I say it's a little bit complex, perhaps, but this is the way it is when we ponder the word. When we're pondering the word, we have to listen to the different dimensions to it, certainly recognize the challenging, convicting effect of the sword of God's word. We are part of the problem after all, but by the grace of God, by the adoption, we have access to the solution as well, and that's part of what the word wants us to know. The sword is not only to cut away sin, but it lays bare the beauty of God's plan for us, his plan for our redemption, our eternal glorification.